Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Most long COVID symptoms will resolve within a year. That's according to a new study published in the British Medical Journal. The researchers in Israel tracked almost 300,000 children and adults who had had mild COVID-19 at some point between March 2020 and October 2021. Now, to talk about this, we're joined by Jack Lambert, Professor of Infectious Diseases at the UCD School of Medicine and who was running a long COVID clinic. Jack, good morning.
Good morning.
Is your clinic still open?
No. It was terminated at the end of December because we never received any funding from the HSC and no communication from them, despite many requests about the status of our business plan we submitted back in July. So very disappointing. You can't run a service without any money.
Now, this study, which emanated from Israel, and we can remember Israel quite well at the early stages of the pandemic, they got their vaccination program very quickly up and running, and they gave lots of information to Pfizer on foot of some deal they made. But let's talk about the study. What does it say to you about long COVID? And there's obviously long COVID that might be mild, and long COVID that might be, as we have discussed on the program already, much more severe.
Right. Well, I think, I mean, this just adds to many, many other studies that are already out there on, you know, what percentage of people after getting an acute COVID infection are still sick at a year. And they're basically saying that a certain number are sick at 6 months and less are sick at 12 months, but they're still saying that 30% of people, you know, in their review, it wasn't actually a review of patients, it was a review of medical records. So, it, you know, the information's not as robust as some other studies, but they're basically saying that a certain 30% of people are still unwell at 1 year. They don't describe how unwell, whether they're, you know, kind of walking wounded, still going to work, yeah, or whether they're totally disabled at home, unable to function. But it's just one more piece of evidence that, you know, long COVID is you know, long COVID is a serious condition. And it's probably one of the few viruses I know that a certain number of people don't seem to ever recover from or are recovering very slowly from.
Now, some of the common symptoms that were reported would be the loss of taste and smell, and for most people, those senses come back fairly quickly. Lack of concentration, that brain fog we were also discussing on the program before, a persistent cough that doesn't go away, respiratory disorders may be more prone to being, you know, infected by pneumonia or by RSV. And then there are people who describe just general weakness, fatigue, chest pain, muscle aches, and so on. So the range of symptoms is quite extraordinary. And, you know, can you always attribute them to COVID-19?
Well, I think these are people that, you know, weren't sick before. So I guess that's really the story. You know, you've got people who are going 40 years in their life totally well, and all of a sudden, 1 year after getting COVID-19, they're unwell. So you can attribute it to maybe there's other reasons for this, but I don't think there is. I think, you know, this is COVID is different than any other virus we've ever seen. And then the other issue you raise is the immunosuppression. The virus is damaging the immune system, and you get another hit of COVID and your immune system's damaged more. And we're seeing more people with recurrent infections that never had those infections before. We're seeing people with reactivation of shingles, you know, the chickenpox virus, 3-4 episodes in 1 year. And these are healthy 34-year-olds that never had it before. So it's kind of hard to attribute it to anything other than the COVID they got a year before. So, and the science is coming out that COVID is immunosuppressive. COVID, you know, damages the brain. So I think all the symptoms you're describing are consistent with persistent inflammation of the brain and the nervous system after about a COVID, even mild COVID.
I'm just wondering if there's any research ongoing, you know, with our trolley crisis and so on, and the triple-demic, as they call it, with flu and COVID and RSV, whether anyone is kind of talking to people when they come in to find out what they've had and when they've had it, you know, whether COVID is contributing to a more severe flu outbreak, whether many of the people going in with RSV have had COVID, to try and make some correlation in terms of the impact of COVID-19.
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, if you look at before COVID was around, people who are immunocompromised get worse outbreaks of flu. Children who are immunocompromised get worse RSV. So I think it's we'll have to prove that point, but I think it's a reasonable hypothesis that, you know, we're seeing more severe other infections as a result of a previous hit from COVID-19 and even mild COVID-19, as was reported in this Israeli study.
I have a text here from a listener in Black Rock. Pat says, for perspective, as of last week, my 13-year-old daughter has had long COVID for 2 years. She currently cannot get out of bed with debilitating fatigue and constant chest pain and hasn't returned to school this year at all. Because she's a child, she's completely fallen through the gaps with no support or backing from the HSE. We've exhausted all avenues and feel completely helpless. Our only hope is we're now on a waiting list for a clinic in Germany.
Right. And that is quite typical of the experience of most young adults who have got COVID in Ireland. The HSC has, like I said, they've not put together a service for supporting patients and supporting young adults and supporting children with COVID. And I'm seeing many of these young adults myself now because they have nowhere else to go. And it's a real entity. They're not going back to school. They're very unwell. And there's no services available for them at the present time based on the national HSE plan.
The question of post-viral syndrome, which does exist for other viruses as well, and what that mechanism is, I mean, what is happening when a virus attacks you, you get the symptoms, you recover in time, but you're left with residual effects. I mean, is that common across many viruses?
Well, it is every virus, you know, like there's always been a population of people who have got sick and then they just never recover, but it's not the same percentage as we're seeing with COVID and long COVID. So there's, you know, some people get flu and it takes them months and months to recover. Some people get this Epstein-Barr virus and the virus is associated with chronic fatigue syndrome. That's been around for, you know, many, many years now, many decades now. What I'm saying we're seeing numbers of people with these symptoms in the middle of a COVID pandemic that we've never seen before. So I have no other explanation for it than a complication of COVID. And when you actually do the scans on patients with these conditions, you know, the right kind of scans, there's brain scan called PET scans, there actually is evidence of inflammation there. Unfortunately, what's happening with these patients is they're going to doctors 10 times, going to specialists, they're getting all these tests done, nothing's been found, and then next thing you know, it's been attributed to a psychiatric diagnosis. You know, you're depressed, therefore you're making up your symptoms.
Yeah.
But actually, the PET scans are showing there's inflammation. You can't make up brain inflammation. So this is a real condition, and we need to educate the medical community that this is a real condition and, you know, find ways to support people rather than discounting their symptoms, which is currently happening, I think, across Ireland at the present time for these patients.
Finally, Jack, you know the condition which was known as ME, chronic fatigue syndrome, but they have a medical name for it. What is it? Myalgic encephalomyelitis is what they call it.
Right, yeah.
Is that simply a description of the symptoms, or is it a medical understanding of what's causing it?
No, it's not medical understanding at all. That's the problem. It's just giving people a label, and then you can just put them in a basket. You hurt all over, fibromyalgia, you're tired all the time, ME, chronic fatigue syndrome. But it doesn't say, why are you tired, why are you hurting it all over, and what can you do to reverse that process? Interestingly, if you go back to the studies of ME, chronic fatigue syndrome, you look at the blood disorders and the x-rays, brain x-rays that have been done, there is damage, you know, in the brain of these patients. And these patients have been discounted as being psychological, psychiatric in nature. It's not a psychiatric condition. It's brain inflammation that's triggering all these psychiatric symptoms. And if you fix the brain inflammation, the psychiatric symptoms go away. The solution isn't to give them psychiatric medication.
Okay, and the last question then is there a medicine for brain inflammation?
Right. Well, there's a whole, you know, people have, neurorehabilitation doctors have taken care of people with brain injuries for, you know, 50 years now. So there are protocols put together to repair the brain damage. So yes, there are protocols that have been put together for management of brain injury similar to long COVID. And we should be putting all of our resources in Ireland, you know, the HSE funding for long COVID clinics and post-acute COVID clinics, it should be put into neurorehabilitation, not into pulmonary rehabilitation, because nobody has pulmonary complications. Everybody has neurological complications. And the current money is being misdirected. And it needs to be we need to rethink of our whole strategy for the management of long COVID in Ireland.
Jack Lambert, Professor of Infectious Diseases at the UCD School of Medicine. Thank you very much, Jack, for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
I'm Cindy Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.